So the Dhamma for today is called the Bhikkhu Aparihaniya Dhamma. The Dhammas that lead to growth and flourishing and protect one from falling away from the spiritual life, or protect the Bhikkhu community, the community of monks. Probably directed specifically to the monastic community of the Buddha, but we can certainly extend it and generalize it to the Buddhist community as a whole, as dhammas that protect and ensure the growth and the flourishing of the Buddhist teaching and the Buddhist community as a whole. From the Digha Nikaya, the Mahaparinibbana Sutta. Before the Buddha passed away, he was asked about the flourishing and the growth in a worldly sense. He was asked by a king whether he would be able to conquer another kingdom, or another society, another country. And the Buddha explained that that country was following some very beneficial dhammas that he had taught them that would ensure their flourishing into the future. And based on that, he taught these dhammas to the monks, saying that just as a country will flourish because of following basic principles for good government, so too the monastic community and the community of Buddhist practitioners in general will flourish if they follow certain guidelines. And these are really valuable and important dhammas for us. Of course, they're not directly teaching us how to practice the Buddhist teaching, but they're important in the sense that our community and our religion is important for us to be able to continue and flourish individually. And the flourishing of the Buddhasasana is a important factor of our own personal growth, something that we try our best to protect as Buddhists, something that we consider to be an important part of our lives, our spiritual lives. So the first one is community. The first important principle is that we should remember the importance of community. We are not alone, and being alone won't in and of itself be sufficient for us to grow and to flourish. It certainly won't be enough for us to focus on ourselves exclusively for Buddhism to grow and to flourish. Of course, the most important thing is for us to focus on our own practice, but even for our own growth and our own progress on the path, community is essential. It doesn't mean the community in terms of socializing, chatting, and have festivities and that sort of thing. It doesn't mean spending all our time in social community. Of course, the Buddha recommended that we engage in seclusion, and that we seclude ourselves from all people. But we need a community, of course, in order to even be able to do that. And furthermore, seclusion in and of itself is insufficient. We need guidance, we need support, and we need these sorts of things that come from meeting with the other people in our community. Division and conflict arise when we don't meet together, when we don't discuss and debate and come to a consensus as a community. So meeting is an important part of the Buddha's teaching. Of course, for meditators, we encourage to limit contact with other meditators and with other people during a course, to not engage in socializing, chatting, and engagement with other people. But we still have meetings with the teacher, we have evening chanting for the monastic community. We encourage meditators to stay to themselves except for the sorts of things that, sorts of meetings and community that will support them in their practice, most especially their meetings with the teacher. So for a meditator in a meditation center, the meeting with the teacher is sufficient for the, in terms of this principle. But for the community as a whole, for the long-term residents, especially for the monks, we have certain meetings. The monks every 2 weeks will meet together to ensure that we are all following the same guidelines and to affirm our mutual purity and our dedication to the Buddha's teaching. And we have daily meetings for the chanting, and evening chanting is not something that we consider necessary for long-term residents, but certainly valuable. So if you miss days or so on, I don't think the Buddha required us to meet every day, but evening chanting is something that we can see as a tradition that has really allowed for the community to come together, and after chanting we have time to discuss any problems that came up during the day, and really just to keep the community together and to provide support for each other, and to be able to commune as a group to ensure that we're all headed in the same direction. The second principle is harmony. But of course, when we meet, our meetings should be in harmony. Obviously, we don't want to fight with each other and have our debates turn into arguments and disagreements. And most importantly, we want our hearts to be in the right place. And harmony is something that not only should we take as a rule for the community, but something that we should take as a quality to strive towards, a quality of our minds. In our minds, thinking that the things that we do, the things that we say, our principles, our guiding principles, should be for the harmony of the community. Obviously, a disharmonious community is of no benefit to anyone. And if you are cultivating disharmony in the community, that will be to your detriment and to the detriment of others and to the detriment of the community and the Buddha Sasana as a whole. So we should be certainly committed to it as a guideline, but also as a quality that we should think in terms of, when we are going to say something, is this speech that I am engaging in for the harmony of the community or for the disharmony of the community? Am I going to say something that is going to cause stress and suffering and discord in the community, or the things that I say, will they lead to greater harmony and strengthen the community and strengthen our commitment to supporting each other? Harmony is something that is, of course, essential in any community, and so an important part of our commitment to the Buddha Sasana, that we engage with each other in body, in speech, and even in mind, as we've talked about, with kindness and with compassion and with the inclination to support each other in our practice. The third quality is integrity. So this means that in our cultivation of a Buddhist community and a Buddhist society, and in our own personal cultivation of the Buddhist teaching, we need to have integrity in keeping to the teachings that the Buddha taught, not adding new teachings and not taking away old teachings. So what was taught by the Buddha, we keep to that. What wasn't taught by the Buddha, we don't add that. We don't add anything, we don't take anything away. And we can even go further and say that in any given community there are traditions and there are practices. In a meditation center there are specific practices, ways of practicing, that are not necessarily the only way one can practice the Buddha's teaching. Obviously the techniques that we do can be manifold, and even in a given center there may be different techniques. However, there are often traditions and techniques that are taken up by a specific community. So in our community, we follow the Mahasi Sayadaw tradition, and obviously we expect everyone here is keeping to that. And what we teach, we are careful not to take anything away from the tradition, trying to follow as best we can the teachers that came before, the wise ones who passed on the teaching. We follow that, and we don't add anything new. We don't try to incorporate other practices in. We say, well, this is what we were taught, and this is what was told to us as being the valid way or a valid way to practice the Buddhist teaching, and so we follow after that. For as a community, it's quite valuable to have this sort of integrity, that we're all following the same path, that we all have the same views. Obviously, there's a real danger involved with the different disparity of views, where people have different ideas about the Buddhist teaching, different interpretations. So we try to follow the interpretation that was handed down to us. Obviously, the teachings can be interpreted and can be explained in different ways, but we also have a very old and very well-established tradition of how to understand the Buddhist teaching in the commentaries and in the teachers that came later. And so integrity is also not just about saying I'm following the Buddhist teaching and you're following Buddhist teaching, but to say this is the way we understand the Buddhist teaching. Our understanding of the Buddhist teaching is along the same lines, and so we follow the principles that were given and passed down by the teacher. The third is humility. So for any community, obviously, we need to have a sense of respect for each other. And one aspect of respect is not just respecting everyone as individuals, because of course we respect everyone's qualities, but for harmony and for the smooth running of the community, our respect for elders is not just a valuable, but also a, or more than valuable, you could say it's an essential part of the smooth running of the community. It's valuable not only in terms of maintaining harmony, but also in terms of allowing us access to traditions and to teachings. We're in great danger often of believing that we have all of the knowledge that we need and that we understand the teaching perfectly. And we can be very much guided by our support and our respect for our elders, who will show us and will point out to us things that are not clear as newcomers. People who come new to the teaching often are quite quick to pick up and understand the teaching and believe that they are in complete grasp of the truth of the practice and the right way to practice. But there's quite an element of depth to the practice that requires time and requires experience that only comes through age. So it's not just physical age, but age in the sasana, how long you have been involved. We appreciate that different people have different levels of understanding, and some people are able to grasp the teachings quicker than others, but there's no better way than seniority to have a general sense of one's experience in the Buddha sasana. Obviously, someone can be a practitioner of the Buddhist teaching for a long time and still have limited grasp of the teachings, and someone can be quick to grasp the teachings and gain great wisdom in a very short time. But in general, experience is going to give us a better guide, a better guideline for where the experience, where understanding lies. And so we find that when we do respect seniority, when we respect those who have been in the sasana for a long time, that there's great benefit that comes from their words and their guidance and their experiences. They have stories to tell, and they have guidance to give based on their experiences that newcomers don't get. And it's a real danger if we have this sort of conceit that a newcomer often has, where they think that they know better than their seniors and they don't have this sort of respect, and as a result, senior practitioners will be disinclined to share their wisdom and to share their understanding. Our respect for elders, that was passed on by the Buddha, who said that we should have respect for those who are senior to us, is well-founded and valuable, and of course something that keeps the community together, that keeps the elders in a position to guide those who are coming new and inclined to help, as opposed to being afraid to share their experiences for fear of being rejected by people, the newcomers who think that they know better. So a reminder to be humble and to express appreciation for those who have come before, to our teachers and to our elders and to our seniors. The fifth virtue or quality is purity. And this is really, of course, the essence of the Buddhist teaching, is that we work to purify our minds. The practice of mindfulness at its very essence is for the purification of the mind, freedom from craving, freedom from clinging, freedom from attachment that leads to rebirth, that leads to the continuation of the rounds. So our cultivation of purity is obviously for our own benefit. We consider that the impurities of the mind, the greed and the craving, the anger, the delusion, the unwholesomeness that festers in the mind is to our own great detriment. It leads to suffering, it leads to stress, it leads to rebirth in unpleasant situations. But of course, it's also an important part of our community. And in our dealings with each other, we should be pure. And in our practice, the purity that we gain for our own benefit is a valuable asset to the community. We should be reverential towards this sort of purity, appreciating the purity in each other and encouraging it and demanding it as a community, that impurity should not become a part of our lives, where we are guided by our wants and our cravings and our desires, and we are where we might encourage these things. So we are careful as a community to guard against this sort of tendency, the group craving and the greed and anger and aversion, calling it out, but guarding against it, being good examples for each other, supporting each other, and guiding the community away from these sorts of things. So not engaging in things that are associated with craving, that are associated with greed, not allowing these things to become an integral part of the community. So avoiding things like drugs, and avoiding attachment to food even, or any kind of beauty, physical, sensual pleasure, sensual beauty, that sort of thing. Not getting caught up in it. And as a community, having this as a sort of principle, that we should, of course, practice for ourselves as the core aspect of our practice, to free ourselves from attachment, but also as a communal principle, that our community won't get caught up in chasing after these sorts of things. The sixth quality or principle, I guess you could say, is sanctity. The respect and the reverence for our residence as a place of refuge, a place of solace, as a place of solitude. The Buddha encouraged us to live in the forest, and so we take this seriously. We don't settle for a residence that is busy, that is caught up in worldly affairs, that is associated with society. Mostly we try to live as best we can in the forest, but more importantly we respect the sanctity of our situation. That means respecting each other's privacy, respecting the seclusion of each other, not invading on each other's seclusion, not violating the quality of our residence, our community, our monastery. So we provide residents with as much capacity to seclude themselves and to cultivate inner tranquility and depth of focus and depth of practice on their own. And our attitude, our behavior, our focus as individuals has to be to maintain this and to respect it. So not chatting with each other, obviously, not getting caught up with each other or invading each other's space or that sort of thing. And also as a general principle, guiding how we build the community and how we maintain and run the community, that we run it on the principle of providing people with seclusion, so not making loud noises as best we can, not engaging in activities that are going to disturb other meditators or disturb the community or set the community in a direction that will cultivate further busyness, and not setting up activities or methodologies, ways of running the community that are going to disturb or create busyness for the community, trying our best to allow people their time alone. And to appreciate on our own individually the importance of this sort of seclusion, that each and every one of us should engage in as much and as heartfelt seclusion as best we can, to engage in a secluded lifestyle where we are focused on our own development rather than focused on the activities of others and the busyness of the monastery. And the final principle is hospitality. So the Buddha was, as seen from his teachings, was encouraging us to be hospitable towards those who are here, thinking to ourselves, the Buddha said, we should think to ourselves, those who are here, who are practicing well, who are well behaved, may they stay. So always in the way that we act, in the way that we speak, and in the way that we even think, that we try to think of how we can make this place comfortable and beneficial to those who are engaged in good behavior, those who are practicing well. What can we do to encourage the community to practice in a good way and to make the community feel comfortable? Those who are practicing well, that again, not disturb them, but to think to ourselves, I will do what I can to make this a beneficial place. So we provide as best we can the amenities of lodging and food and comfort as is required for the proper cultivation of the Buddhist teaching. And at the same time, thinking to ourselves, those who haven't come yet, we will welcome them. And what can we do to make them feel welcome, make them feel happy and encouraged to come to our center? So we reach out to the community, and anyone who is interested in coming, we try to provide them with as much information and support and encouragement as we can to give them the encouragement and the interest in coming to our center. If we think to ourselves, those who practice well, may they be interested, and may they find this place a beneficial option for them to come, a place that they would be able to grow and to prosper. So something that is attractive to those who are on the right path. This sort of attitude is, of course, obviously a valuable part of encouraging growth. Anything we can do that can encourage good people to stay, that good people that have already come, encouraging them to stay, and good people that haven't come, encouraging them to come, is to come and to live here and to join our community and to be a part of the goodness that we're cultivating here is a valuable part of our growth and our prosperity as a Buddhist community. So these seven principles are called the Aparihaniya Dhamma. They are what lead to growth and protect us against the potential falling away disappearing of the Buddha Sasana, things that we should remember, that community, harmony, integrity, humility, purity, sanctity, and hospitality, good buzzword or catch keywords that we can remember that point us in the right direction and allow us to, or give us access to these valuable principles and allow our community to prosper. So that's the Dhamma for today. Thank you all for listening.